Okay, thank you, choir. Well, we sang that third verse. I don't think we've sung that for a while. What a wondrous thought that my Lord I'll see soon. One day He's coming. Number 295. 295. Everybody take a hymnal. Stand and join us. 295. Sing out now.
One day when heaven was filled with His praises, one day when sin was as black as could be, Jesus came forth to be born of a virgin, dwelt amongst men, my example is me. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away. Rising He justified, freely forever. One day He's coming, O glorious day.
One day they led Him to Calvary's mountain.
One day they nailed
Him to die on the tree, suffering anguish, despised and rejected. Bearing my sin, my Redeemer is He. Living He loved me, dying He saved me, buried He carried my sin far away. Rising He justified, really forever. One day He's coming, oh glory of day. Well, we're not going to sing all the verses, but number 4 talks about His resurrection,
yeah.
And number 5, second coming. So we're going to sing that 4th verse, and then I want you to pull out all the stops when we get to that last. Together.
One day the rain could conceal in the water. One day the sun rolled away from the door. Then He arose over death He had conquered. Now it's the same that my Lord has been born. Living He loved.
You believe that? Say amen. Praise. Isn't it good to come to church and just start thinking about His death, His burial, and His resurrection? What else is there? What else? Listen, we are what we are by the grace of God, and it's the grace of God that provides the death, the burial, the gospel message. Man, what a great singing this morning. My goodness, y'all are in good voice today, and I appreciate that so much. Good to have our visitors here with us, and we'll mention them in a moment. Let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask God's blessing on the service. Then when we're through, you and the audience can be seated, and then the choir will sing another number. All right, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And let's see here. Brother Joaquin, how about pray for us, would you?
Heavenly Father, thank you again for this wonderful day, Lord. Thank you for all the visitors that are in attendance. Thank you for all the blessings that you have given us.
Yes.
I bless the special music and the preaching of this word. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Say amen. Thank you, choir. All right, well, pastor's already said we've got some visitors among us. We're going to give the choir a chance to come down. And so if you will, let's all stand, have a little time of fellowship while the choir comes down. Thank you, choir.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you so much, choir, for that good singing this morning. And if you'll find your seat, we'll continue on with the service. I hear a lot of smooching going on back there. Better. Martha said, who, me? I know you do. She gets her boot off tomorrow, right? So, Lord willing, so hopefully she'll be kicking around on regular feet and legs again like before. She's had that surgery. It's been 2 or 3 months, well, more than that, I guess, probably altogether. And so we're looking forward to her being fully recovered. Well, we're glad to have you in the service today. Man, didn't the choir do a good job? Wonderful singing, choir. Praise God. And I appreciate the way you sang this morning. A couple of things I want to mention real quickly. Let me recognize the visitors first. I don't forget that. We're glad to have Miss Gonda here with us. Miss Gonda is our neighbor. She lives at the end of the dirt road down here behind us. The woods right directly behind us. She lives on the other side of the woods. And she said she saw the church being built, of course, over time and wanted to come and visit. And I'm glad she did. Boy, she's back there singing along with everybody. It's wonderful. And we're glad to have Miss Gonda here with us. And then glad to have Miss Poland. I hope that's right. And she is over at the Waterford. And I believe you came to the... did you come to the service for... You did. That's where I met you, at the memorial service. And this is her daughter, Miss Dunlap. And we're glad to have these folks here. And she's friends with Ed and May, and she puts up with Ralph, like the rest of us. But she lives over the Waterford. And what a joy to have some of the folks here from over there. And then good to have Miss Ward back with us this morning. Appreciate Miss Ward being here. Miss Morris, I guess, went back to Georgia. Is that right? She's from Georgia. That's one of her daughters. And the other one is somewhere else, obviously. But Miss Ward's here with us today. And we're so glad that she's able to be here. Excuse me. Let's just be praying for some folks. Pray for Sonny Branham. Miss Judy had to go back home to stay with him. The surgery part seems to be improving all right. But now, you know, of course, he's got that frontal lobe dementia. He also now, they've discovered, has Parkinson's. And so they have not started treating him for that just yet. But what they did discover was that he was over-medicated. And so, you know, that doesn't seem to be a shocker too many times. A lot of times that's the case. So they're cutting him back on a lot of stuff. Now, it's only been a week, and so obviously there's not any real significant change yet. But they're hoping that because of that, and then at some point they will put him on a Parkinson's-type medicine to kind of control that. So from that point, hopefully he'll start to get more normal and feel better and that sort of thing. I mean, physically he's up and about. I mean, it's nothing that's keeping him down other than just with his mind and all. So you pray for them. You know that's a very difficult thing to have to deal with personally, as well as with Sister Judy, with being his wife. And they've been together many, many years. And so you pray for both of them, if you would. Brother Steve Morris has his cancer surgery coming up in July. Ms. Moreno, Candy's mother, and then Melvin's brother, Edward. I guess, Ms. Candy, he's still in Where's Melvin? I'm sorry. He's at home. Okay, so you pray for Melvin. Maybe he'll be able to be here back again tonight, okay? All right, so just remember these folks in prayer, if you would. Shel, come on up here a minute. Let me go ahead and I'll let you do this, and he'll let you know something about our track challenge.
To keep giving out the tracks, we're falling behind. Just to give you some numbers from when we started in February, this is where we're at. February, we gave out 1,167. March, 1,298. April, 569. May, 1,122, and then so far as of June, it's 464. So we started high, and we've gone down, came back up, and now we're going back down. So let's get out there and give out those tracts.
Right.
That's what we have them here for. We invite people to church. Brendan and I had an opportunity to witness somebody the other night at Chick-fil-A and just give them a tract, and it seemed like she was going through some times, but we were able to pray and just keep giving out tracts. That's what they're there for. Invite people to come to church and tell them about the Lord. That's what it's all about. Get somebody to Christ. One track at a time, one soul at a time.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So the total numbers are up on the board towards the end of the service or tonight. Look at them. But we're over 4,000 tracks given out. We still got a little ways to go to meet our 12,000 track mark. But if you give them out, come and see me.
Right.
It's not going to hurt. Come and see me. I don't bite. I'll write it down, and that's it. So just that way you have an idea, and that will keep the number of the tracks. Amen. So y'all keep giving out those tracks as we need.
Well, I can personally attest to the fact that Shelton doesn't bite. He snarls a little, but he doesn't bite. Amen. Yeah. All right. So come on, Brian. You got some announcements for us as well.
All right. We got a lot of things coming up in the next few weeks. So listen closely and get involved in some of these things serving our Lord here at Anchor Baptist Church. This coming, of course, tonight, the evening service is at 5:30. We will have choir practice. Ensemble at 4:15. Choir at 4:30. I'm getting ready for our patriotic service next Sunday. Did I get that right? All right. I did. So next Sunday, just July the 1st, will be our special patriotic service. We'll have special songs by the choir and some special recognition of, I like how the sign out there put it, recognition of America's heroes. We'll be doing that on next Sunday. And we want you folks that have been in the military or currently are, if you have some memorabilia that you can bring, that we hope to have a display out to show some of that things, show some of those things off. And we'll have a wonderful time worshiping our Lord next Sunday and honoring America on July 1st. All right, that'll be the morning service, 10:30, by the way, just in case you were wondering. This coming Saturday is the ladies meeting up at Bible Baptist in Monroe. And so we've been telling you about that for a couple weeks. So we're going to leave the church around 8 a.m. on Saturday to get up to be able to get them up to Monroe in time. The meeting will start at 10 o'clock. So now that we've told you all about it, we'd like to get a nice count of how many going on this coming Saturday, meeting here at the church at 8 o'clock. I think the meeting lasts till 1 or so, so it'll be a whole morning kind of thing. So if you're able to go Saturday and you want to go, and you're going to want to go because you're going to get a blessing from the Lord if you do, go ahead and raise your hands so we'll get a count. We'll know how many is going on the van or what other vehicles we might need. I got 3 over here, 6, I see 7. No ladies up here. Okay. 7. Okay. Ed, you're going? Oh, okay. Okay, that's right. So that make that 9. So that's a good count. If you didn't raise your hand just now or you know somebody else who for some reason might not be here, you might want to talk to them and see if they can come on Saturday, we'd appreciate that. All right. Now, a couple other things coming up. I want to cover these. The first Thursday of next month, that's July the 5th. On a Thursday will be the service at the Waterford, the monthly service down at the Waterford, Thursday, the 5th of July. That's not this week, but the next one. And then July 10th, which is a couple weeks away, is the rescheduled Rusty Anchors meeting. That'll be 10 o'clock here at the church. That's Tuesday, July the 10th. Now, we're doing something special. If you saw the display when you came in, we are doing a weekend vacation Bible school here at the church. I think it's Sunlight Express. Did I get that right? I got train conductors and all that kind of stuff. So it'll be a good time. We're looking at ages 5 through 16 to join us for that. It'll be Friday the 13th of July. I think that evening will be at 6 o'clock here at the church. And then Saturday morning at 10 o'clock on Saturday the 14th, I'll start inviting kids to come and be with us during those days. Again, ages 5 to 16. We're going to have a wonderful time. We're going to have some we're going to have devotion. We're going to have skits. We're going to have some snacks. We're going to have crafts, all kinds of fun stuff. And so on the 7th, which is not this coming Saturday, but the next one, we're going to be doing a neighborhood blitz out here to let people know about the upcoming Bible school. Normally that would be our Sewing Saturday for the men, but this time instead of Sewing Saturday, we're going to be doing, and we've done it before, a neighborhood blitz, and that's open to anybody, man, woman, boy, and girl, anybody can be involved with that. That's we're going to be putting flyers out for our Vacation Bible School. So mark that down. 2 weeks from yesterday, it'll be July the 7th. We'll go out and hand those flyers out. And then the Bible school will be the 13th and the 14th. So make sure your kids are here. Make sure you invite your grandkids, whatever relatives you may have, and whatever neighbors you have. They'll have a wonderful time at Vacation Bible School this year. And tonight, after the evening service, I do have that written down, Miss Inez needs to meet with anybody who wants to help with the Bible school. That's very open-ended. It could be anybody who wants to help in any way with the Bible school. We'd love to have you do that. That'll be after the evening service tonight. We'll mention that again tonight just to remind you. And I know you'll have a good time this year at Vacation Bible School.
If you served in the military, he's already mentioned bringing memorabilia in. Next week, we'll display it on some tables here. But also, if you won or any kind of awards or recognition, if you'll write that information down, we're going to go into a little bit more detail with some of those things. So if you'll hand that to me either Wednesday or Sunday, and we'll plan on putting that in the service as well. Number 355, let's stand and sing Wonderful Grace of Jesus. We'll sing the first and last stanzas. Number 355. Everybody sing out now. Sing together.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall the praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free, for the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. My transgression, greater far than all my daily shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name. Wonderful grace of Jesus, reaching the most defiled, by its transforming power, making him God's dear child, purchasing peace and heaven for all eternity, and the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me. Wonderful the matchless grace of Jesus, deeper than the mighty rolling sea. Wonderful grace, like a fountain of patience for me, broader than the scope of my transgression, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus, praise His name.
Good singing. You can be seated.
All right, let's have the ushers come on, and while they're coming, Wednesday night, Dante sang a song for special and did a tremendous job. And he did so good, I wanted to sing it again today. So come on up here, Dante, and get your microphone ready, and he'll be singing while the offering plate's being passed. And let me mention, too, for those of you, Brian didn't reiterate or really tell all of this, but on the neighborhood blitz, you know what we do? We get people in cars. You don't have to get out of your car. You don't have to walk. You don't have to do anything. You can be in air conditioning and all that. But what we do is we make up flyers. And then we get the flyers prepared. We give flyers to any, could be, it has to be at least a couple, because somebody's got to drive while the other one is putting the flyers out. And what we do is we pick neighborhoods. And then you just drive through the neighborhood, just like the mailman, except you don't put anything in the mailbox because we can't do that. But if they have a paper box, you slide, somebody in the passenger side just slides that right in, and you drive to the next one. And you'd be, so one Saturday we did this, and we gave out 5,000 pieces of literature in one Saturday, about 2 hours.
because we had like 21 different couples and cars. Well, you can cover a lot of ground that way. Plus, you're not wearing yourself out in the heat. And so that's why anybody can do this. Anybody. You don't have to, you know, senior citizens, if you want to be involved in it, like I said, if you can ride the car. Now, somebody has to have the ability to reach out a window, you know, and get it in there, you know. And somebody's got to be able to drive where they don't knock down people's stuff while you're driving, you know. But other than that, you'd be surprised. And really, we're basically just going to do the neighborhoods right within this area here. We're not going to go too far out. You've got Green Springs, you've got South Springs, North Springs. You've got right back here, I don't remember the name of it now, but right behind us here. I mean, there's hundreds, maybe thousands of houses. And so we want to try to let the kids know during this week. Now, there's a lot of camps and a lot of things that go on. This is the first time we've had Bible school here, you know, since we've been here. And it's a weekend, so it's a little bit different. I think it's going to be great. They're going to decorate the auditorium up like a train station. And it's going to be all right. I think the kids will enjoy it. And so please, if you want to help with that, please let them know. But that's what the Blitz is, the neighborhood Blitz. And so I hope that you can join in with us, okay? Let's pray. Father, we love you. What a joy it is to be able to give a portion of that which you've blessed us with. And God, I pray that folks will be faithful in their giving. And Lord, that we'll be faithful in our stewardship. And God, we love you and thank you for providing our needs. Thank you for the wonderful spirit we already feel within the service today. The choir did a wonderful job, the congregation singing with all of their heart. And God, I believe there's people here that came looking for something from heaven, and we sure want it, Lord, all we can get. Thank you for our visitors who are so good to take time out of their day to come and visit with us here at Anchor Baptist Church. Now bless the offering, the gift, and the giver, and bless Dante as he sings for us. In Jesus' name, amen.
If you could see what I once was, if you could go with me back to where I started from, then I know you would see the miracle of love that took me in its sweet embrace. A sinner saved by grace. I'm just a sinner saved by grace. When I stood condemned to death, He took my place. Now I grow one. Where would I be had God not brought me gently to this place? I'm here to say I'm nothing but a sinner saved by grace. I'm just a now I grow and breathe in freedom with by grace.
Thank you, Dante. And old Joaquin's back there cheering for him. That's a little Joaquin move right there at the end. Thank you, Dante. Appreciate that. Well, right before Pastor comes, we have the Anchor Trio coming to sing for us.
Hey, wonderful, Dante.
The dreams of my childhood have all fallen through. I guess I build my castles of sand, but every dream in Jesus has come true, because rock I stand, and I've never been disappointed in Jesus, and doubt has never crossed my mind, for in Him the fault I find. I've been discouraged with the family, forsaken by some friends, oh, but I've never been disappointed in Him.
I've been given many things, I've had them taken all away, but the gift of God is still mine today. Men may give their words, but they don't follow through. But I have found every promise, on His word is true.
Disappointed in Jesus, and doubt has never crossed my mind, for in Him the fault I find. I've been discouraged with some family, forsaken by some friends, but I've never been disappointed in Him. Oh, I've never been disappointed in Jesus. And doubt has never crossed my mind, for in Him the fault I find. I've been discouraged with some family, forsaken by some friends, but I've never been disappointed in Him.
I've been given many things, I've had them taken all away, but the gift of God is still mine today. Men may give their words, but they don't follow through. But I have found every promise, on His word is true.
Well, I've never been disappointed in Jesus, and doubt has never crossed my mind, for in Him the thought I find.
been discouraged with some family, forsaken by some friends. But I've never been disappointed in Him.
No,
I've never been disappointed in Jesus.
And doubt has
never crossed my mind, for in Him the thought I find. I've been discouraged with some family, forsaken by some friends. But I've never been disappointed in Him.
No,
I've never been disappointed in Him.
All right. Well, the music's been good.
Today,
but we're here to hear this right here. Get your Bibles ready. Follow along with the pastor.
Thank God we have this, but it's good to have that too. Praise the Lord. I don't get saved by feelings, but it sure is good to feel saved. Amen. And feel the Lord's presence. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you for that good singing. And in case you're wondering, that's how we honor the Lord. We praise Him. We shout. You don't have to. You don't have to shout to praise the Lord. And if you don't, that doesn't make you less spiritual than anybody else. And you don't have to do what somebody does to match it. You praise the Lord however you want to. You weep, you cry, you giggle, you just focus. Be quiet. Now, the Bible said sometimes we're supposed to study to be quiet. Sometimes it's good just to be quiet for a while. Just let the Lord kind of work. And I'm telling you, thank the Lord for His presence and power. And I want to actually touch on that a little bit in the message this morning. Turn to John chapter 20, the Gospel of John chapter 20. Now, while you're turning there, I'm going to do something I've never done before, to my knowledge. And it's going to be a surprise to somebody. And that is, we have in our church some of the best Sunday school teachers anywhere. Anywhere. I mean that. And I've said this before, and Brother Steve Kraut teaches the auditorium class, as good a Sunday school teacher as I've ever heard. It's not because he's family-in-law or anything like that. I've said this ever since I've known him. He taught a lesson this morning that I thought was one of the greatest Sunday school lessons that I've ever heard. And so tonight, now we're in chapter 16 of Romans. I was going to finish up tonight. I mean, we're going to be done with Romans. But we're going to take one more Sunday night. Brother Steve, I want you to teach, preach, whatever you want to call that lesson tonight. Everybody to hear. That's how good that Sunday school lesson was. I'm telling you, I don't think I've ever done that. I don't think. If I have, I don't remember. But the thing is that because we have different Sunday school classes, there are some people, you know, in other classes, they come out and say, man, what Sunday school we had? Well, that was for your group. But I want everybody to hear this one tonight. So, number one, I want you to hear it. Number two, you got to be here to hear it. Okay? You got to be here to hear it. I thought, well, what I'll do is I'll just tell everybody we're not going to live stream it tonight. That way you have to come. I'm not going to do that. Listen, if you're able and healthy, you know you ought to be in church. Amen? In fact, we're going to read about a young man who found out that it was never a good idea to miss church. Look at John chapter 20 and verse number 24. The story is going to be extremely familiar. Page 1144 in your Schofield Bible. Let's stand to our feet, please, in reverence to the Word of God. We'll just read down through verse 29. If you're able to stand, if not, then that's fine. You remain seated. The Bible said this, but Thomas, one of the 12 called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, we've seen the Lord. He, Thomas, said unto them, except I shall see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, his disciples were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst, and said, peace be unto you. Then saith he to Thomas, reach hither thy finger, and behold my hands. And reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing. And Thomas answered and said unto him, My Lord and my God. And Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Let's pray. Father, I beg for your power in this message. We have already experienced the mighty presence of God here in the service. For me, it started in Sunday school. You spoke to my heart, and as Brother Steve brought out those wonderful thoughts about the treasures. Lord, I'm glad that I can say that as insignificant as I am, I'm glad to be part of God's treasures. Lord, I pray this morning that the same Spirit of God that has so stirred in the music and the choir and the special singing will now be as much available or more as we open up the Word of God. So, Father, I pray that you'll speak through these lips of clay. Don't let me say anything that would bring reproach upon your name. Please help me to rightly divide the Word of truth as we look into the story of Thomas. God, I pray that it would be a blessing to somebody, that a sinner might get saved or a saint get touched by the Word of God. We love you. Thank you for all you do for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach a little while on this thought. Absence, attendance, appearance, and affirmation. Absence, attendance, appearance, affirmation. Now, you know the story of, we all know him as Doubting Thomas. Of course, the Scripture lends to that, and there are other places in the Gospels that tell the same. Here, you'll notice, in fact, go back to verse number 1. The disciples are meeting now that Jesus has died and is now resurrected. And look what verse 1 says of John chapter 20. The first day of the week. Now, we all know that to be Easter Sunday. We also know that in the Jewish calendar, Sunday was the first day of the week, where in ours it's Monday. Saturday was the Sabbath. That was the Jewish Sunday, I guess, in our terminology. So you notice that when Jesus resurrected, that the women went to the tomb on the first day of the week. Now, I'm not preaching on church attendance, although it's in here. She came, or they came, on the first day of the week. Now, after that has passed, the resurrection has passed, the women have gone and told the disciples what's happened. Now, you'll notice that night, notice in verse 19 of this chapter, once they get the word about the resurrection of Christ, it says, then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week. So they got the word that morning, and that night they had a meeting, Sunday night. Well, preach, you know, Sunday night's man-made, is not important. Must have been important to the disciples. They decided to have church service on Sunday night. So they're meeting, and they're discussing what's happened. Well, of course, I would too, if something like that had occurred. And our Lord, the one that we'd followed for 3.5 years, is now, at least in their perception, gone. But he wasn't really gone. And so they're talking about it. And of all things, the one person that wasn't there for that Sunday night service was Thomas. Notice that in verse 24, back in our text, that the Scripture says, but Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. You realize that the very first Sunday night service in human history, Jesus showed up personally, bodily, or they could see him. Now, we talk about having the presence of the Lord. I don't know about you, but and I wish I could get more of it. But I felt a little touch from heaven this morning. But I did not see angelic beings roaming around. I didn't see the Holy Spirit moving about. I didn't see Jesus coming and going. But I know he was here. He said, for where two or three are gathered together in my name, there will I be in the midst of them. Well, there's 11 because Judas is now gone. But of the 11, 10 are meeting. Thomas missed it. Have you ever thought this? The reason I say this is because yesterday I came by to, I think it was yesterday, it might have been Friday. But I came by here and the recycle box that we use, you know, we take out to the curb was out there. So I came by the church and I got the mail and I went and got the green box. It was empty. So I started walking up the driveway here and a car pulled up behind me and I heard somebody say something. And when I stopped, looked around behind me, it was Judy Branham. And so she was telling me about Sonny. You know, she saw me. She said, man, you even take up the garbage cans? I said, I do anything. I didn't take it out there. I think Ed or Brenda or somebody did, but I just happened to be here, so I went ahead and pulled it in. But anyway, we got to talk about Sonny and his situation. And then here's what she said. She said, you know, Pastor, she said, I really want you to pray for Sonny, and I want him to be physically able to come back to church. She said, because I got a chance to watch the Wednesday night service live stream, and she began to talk about how it helped her and how much she enjoyed it. And here's what she said. And would you know it would happen on the night I wasn't there? I'm telling you, whenever you, and it could be Sunday morning, it could be Wednesday, it could be, but I'm telling you, if any time you're supposed to be where the Lord wants you to be and you don't show up, you're liable to miss Him. Thomas missed Him all the, I mean, Thomas didn't just miss the presence of the Lord. Thomas missed Jesus. You say, well, it sounds to me like you're preaching on church attendance. Not really, but that is in there. I have to touch on it. So Thomas, by the way, not only was the first to miss Jesus bodily on the first Sunday night service, looks like he was the first to skip Sunday night. All I can, and I thought about this, whatever he was doing tonight, I hope it was worth it. He missed physically being with Jesus. For a Christian, is there anything in the world more important than meeting with Jesus? No wonder Thomas is looked upon a bit unfavorably. Now, Thomas walked with the Lord. He loved, I don't have any doubt that he loved Jesus. I want to look at Thomas for a moment. And I want to look at five things real quickly about his absence and the subsequent appearance of Christ that night. Remember, I'm preaching on absence, attendance, appearance, affirmation. First of all, notice with me, if you would, the disposition of Thomas. Now, first of all, look at his name. The Bible said that one Thomas called Didymus. Thomas in Hebrew means twin, and Didymus in Greek means double. It's very possible and even probable that Thomas was a twin. Now you say, preacher, what in the world has that got to do with the price of eggs and golf? Well, think about this. Here's a man who by his own name is spoken of as a double. Everybody in this room is a double. You know that? Now, that doesn't mean you're a physical twin. You know, they talk about, what's the word, doppelganger? That's a kind of a wild word for lookalike. And everybody, once in a while, you'll see somebody or somebody will say, man, I met somebody the other day that could be your twin brother. Well, of course, that's not physically the truth, but we all have two natures, don't we? We really are double. You're born with an old nature that says, I want to do what I want to. You get saved and you're birthed with a new nature that says, but we're going to do what God wants to do. Now the battle is raging. And even Thomas, who walked with God, walked with the Lord, ate with Him, slept with Him, traveled with Him, watched Him do these wonderful miracles. But suddenly we find his old nature and his new nature battling each other over whether or not Jesus was really alive. During Jesus' crucifixion, Thomas gave in to his old nature. How do you do that? Well, number one, in what I call his somberness. Now, I'm gonna share something with you that you know, is I learned Bible school and Bible college. I don't use it much. I'm not much on psychology and all of that stuff, you know. But we were taught that a human being has four different temperaments. One is it's called sanguine. Now, a person who has a sanguine temperament is someone who's lively, optimistic, and carefree. And another one is called phlegmatic, with a P-H, not an F. Phlegmatic. And that means that's someone who seeks harmony and close relationships. We would call them a people person. Ever met somebody that said, well, they're a people person. Then there is what is called a choleric, C-H-O-L-E-R-I-C, choleric. That type of individual has a temperament of savviness. He's analytical and logical. We would call him goal-oriented. Boy, he's just out for it. In fact, Matt, I thought about you. Well, there you go. Well, there you go. Then the last one is the one that Thomas was, obviously, and many people are, and that's called melancholy. You've heard that word. It's an old song out called Melancholy Serenade. A person who is melancholy is someone who is sullen, kind of, you know, just kind of quiet, and unfortunately leans towards the pessimistic side of things. In other words, they have to see it, believe it. Got to have proof. So it's probably from Missouri. Show me state. That's where Brother John's from, right? Brother John, your mother lives there. They say that's the show me state. Missed the Sunday night service when Jesus was there. Now, by the way, had he been there that night, this story wouldn't even have happened. Isn't it amazing what could possibly happen in your life when you're not where God wants you to be? Well, he wasn't there. And so because of that, he missed. And by the way, then he said, and I'm not even going to believe it till I can touch him. So I can put my fingers in the... I mean, who wants to do that? He said, I want to put my thrust. That means like that. So the wound that Jesus suffered in his side of the cross was not a little slice. He took a gouge out of his body. And Thomas said, I want to run my hand in. I mean, can you imagine? I mean, I've been around people. If they're wounded, I don't want to mess with it. I want somebody that knows how to mess with it and fix it. But I'm not going to mess with it. If I can help it. Thomas was always kind of thinking on the dark side. Now, let me show you real quickly. You're in John chapter 20. Go back to John chapter 11. We're going to be right here in John. So just a couple of verses. I want you to see this. John chapter 11. And look at verse number 16. John 11 and verse 16. The Bible says, now this is when Lazarus was raised from the dead. I mean, you talk about an exciting day. Here's Thomas's response. He said, we're going to go to Bethany. And Jesus said, I'm going to do something great. And Thomas said, Then said Thomas, which is called Didymus unto his fellow disciples, let us go also that we may die with him. Now Jesus, first of all, he's going to raise Lazarus. Now they didn't know that. Show me anywhere where anybody mentioned anything about dying. And in all of that, following the Lord, all Thomas could say, well, let's go with him so we can all die. That doesn't sound like a people person to me, does it you? Turn to John chapter 14, a couple pages over. John chapter 14. And look with me at verse number 5. You remember Jesus saying, you know, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go, I'll come again. You know, what exciting news that was. But then you look at verse number 5. Thomas said unto him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest, and how can we know the way? He didn't even say, show me the way. He said, how are we going to get there? And instead of being excited about the prospect of heaven, he's looking at the cup half full. Turn to John, and then of course John chapter 20, where we just read. So don't need to go any further there. You get the idea of where Thomas is temperamentally. Definitely a melancholy. Thomas had a gloom and doom attitude. When you get around folks who just can never be happy about the things of God, even when the Lord shows up, you look at them and they look like, so what? So we read in verse 5 of John, that's why they called him Doubting Thomas. Every time you read about him, he just never could quite grasp truth that was given him, because to him, you got to show it to me. I got to be able to figure it out. I got to be able to understand it, and then I'll believe it. Folks, I'm telling you, you'll never have joy and victory in your life if you're waiting for God to prove himself. What more does he have to do than let the sun come up in the morning and the stars shine at night and you breathe every second and your heart beats every second? What more proof do you need there's a God, that he's in control? Thomas's disposition is one that didn't seem to draw people very well, at least up to this point. But now, number two, I want us to know the delinquency of Thomas. You know what a delinquent is? Someone who's not there. In school, they call it truancy. It's the same thing. You don't show up. Delinquent. He wasn't absent. Listen, he wasn't absent that night because he didn't love Jesus. Don't misunderstand. Thomas never said, I don't believe in him anymore. I denounce him. He never did that. He was absent because he just simply didn't believe that Jesus was alive. Why? Because his faith was small. His temperament, his own flesh overtook. His own idea of reason and logic overtook faith. And friend, without faith, it is impossible to please God. You can't go to heaven without faith. I've told you this for years. You know this is true. My brother just got saved a few months ago, but for all these years, it was always when I can live it. In other words, when God proves it to me. The very day that he got saved, as we were struggling, I mean Satan struggling for his soul, and I was weeping and saying, come on, just do it, it's time to get saved. And he put his head in his hands and just wept uncontrollably and said, what if it doesn't work? Then all of a sudden he looked up, and you could just tell, all of a sudden he gave in to the Holy Ghost and he said, well, whether it does or not, I want what you're asking me to take. and he asked Jesus into his heart. And I'm telling you, it is wow. And now he calls me and says, I wish I'd have done it sooner. I said, I know, I've been trying to tell you that for 50 years. Hallelujah. Don't wait for God to prick. If God's pricking your heart, he's proving himself to you. Usually, as I said, we all know this to be true. The service you miss is the one you'll always hate you missed. So we find the disposition of Thomas. We find the delinquency of Thomas. Now let's look quickly at the doubt of Thomas. That's his moniker, Doubting Thomas. There are two kinds of doubters in life. One, it was what I call, now this, you take this or leave this, it's just me thinking. I wrote down what I was thinking. There's something called an honest doubter. That's someone who wants to or does believe, but facts and proof are not readily available. Thomas loved the Lord. It's just that because he wasn't. And here's the thing. You know why Thomas doubted? Because he didn't see Jesus. But whose fault was that? It wasn't Jesus' fault. He showed up. Thomas is the one that wasn't there. So I call him an honest doubter. I mean, again, you call it what you want to. You say, that's ridiculous. Well, that's just what I wrote down. But then there's something called a faithless doubter. And this one is proven by Scripture. A faithless doubter is someone who wouldn't believe even if there was proof. Preacher, what do you mean? Remember when the rich man died? While he was in hell, he prayed and said, Father Abraham, send Lazarus to my five brethren. That Lazarus raised from the dead. He also died. He said, if Lazarus were raised from the dead, if you'll send him to my brothers, I don't want him to come to this awful place. If you'll send Lazarus alive, even though everybody knows he died, you send him alive and my brothers will get saved. You remember what Abraham, was the type of God, responded to the rich man? He said, he's got Moses and the prophets. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear the preaching and the teaching and the word of God. He said, because they would not believe though one rose from the dead. There are people now that won't get saved. You tell them Jesus is alive, that he wants to save them. You give them personal proof in your own life of how God has blessed and worked, and they just will not accept it. That's where Thomas's doubt came. He wasn't a faithless doubter. I believe he was an honest doubter, but he just put too much confidence in proof. In proof. You know what proof usually winds up being? Works. And the Bible said not of works, lest any man should boast. Well, let me give you number four real quickly. So we see the disposition of Thomas. Find the delinquency of Thomas. The doubt of Thomas. And then finally, number four, the display of Thomas. Because you'll notice Thomas missed the very first Sunday night service in history. But he didn't miss the next one. When he found out who was there, he said, are you kidding me? They said, no, we were all meeting. In fact, we're kind of wondering where you were. Peter probably said, I was fixing to go get my cell phone and call you and see if he's on the way. You can do that now. I did that this morning with Joaquin. He was running a little behind. He's always here early. I didn't know if something happened to him. He's done some work around here and like wore him out. I called him and said, he said, I'm at the light. Okay. You can do that now. You couldn't do that before, you know. To his credit, he didn't miss the next Sunday night service. Because notice what it says here. It says in verse number 26, and after 8 days, in other words, the Sunday he missed, that's one, then count seven more and you come back to the next Sunday. After 8 days, again, they met again on Sunday night? That's not a once a month thing? Oh, that's a repetitive thing. And it says, again, his disciples were within, and guess who? Thomas. I'm not missing that again. And it's a good thing he showed up. Now, of course, you know the Lord knew what he said. You know, if I can't touch his prints and thrust my hand into it, he knew all that. And so guess what Jesus did? Showed up again. Yeah, he sure did. And notice that Jesus demonstrated, he displayed. He said, Thomas, here, go ahead. Put your fingers in the prints. I mean, these were not healed up wounds. These were still open wounds. He said, go ahead. I mean, if someone walked up to me and said, put your finger in my wound, I'd say, no, I'm good. I don't have to touch it to know it's there. I can see it. And then imagine when Jesus pulled back his robe and said, now go ahead, Thomas, and run your hand in the print in my side. The wound. That's all Thomas needed. All of a sudden, the doubt blew out. And he didn't turn around to the disciples and say, I'm sorry, guys. I don't know what I was thinking. He He didn't turn around to his wife and family and said, I haven't been a very good husband and father. No, he said, my Lord and my God. And it didn't matter what anybody else thought anymore. His relationship with the Lord was now right. And he now doesn't need proof. Now he's got faith, even though he had proof. In fact, Jesus makes a great statement here, and I'll get to that in just a moment as I close. See, for me, Jesus' death on the cross, as I read it and have experienced it in my own Christian life, is all the proof I need. I don't need him. Let me go on. I do need him, but I don't need him to do things every moment for me to believe in him. He's done so many things over the years. If he didn't do anything else, I still believe in him. I don't doubt him. Sometimes we have to be careful, though, what kind of doubter we become. That can happen if we're not careful. He's never, like they sang, he's never disappointed me. I've never been disappointed in Jesus. No, never. He doesn't have to, put a $1 million check in my mailbox for me to go, oh, there's the Lord. He puts food on my table every day. He puts clothes on my back. Gives a good place to come and worship God and just have a little time with Jesus. Have a little talk with Jesus. Let me close with this, the declaration of Thomas. So when you ever get to the point where you really now know that he's Lord, you can't hardly keep it to yourself. You'll notice in verse 28, and Thomas answered and said to him, my Lord and my God. What a great statement he made. Number one, he declared Christ's authority. He said, my Lord. Not my master, not my right. Now he wasn't, he said, my God. He didn't even say Savior, because that was already settled with Thomas. See, there are a lot of people who are living a Christian life without victory because they're saved. No doubt about that. But he is not Lord of their life. You're a Christian, but he's not Lord of your life. You're going to be just like Thomas. You're going to wait for somebody to prove it to you. And if the proof never comes, you're going to be that melancholy baby. I mean, you're just going to always wonder, could I have had more? When really, if you just trust God, he'd have gave it to you anyway. The Bible said he'll do exceeding abundantly all that you could ask or think. So he declares Christ's authority when he said, my Lord. And then he declared his deity by saying, my God. He's not a God. He's not one of several gods. He is God. Jesus is God. Then he also declared his personal surrender. He didn't bow down to Jesus and say, and the disciples behind him and Thomas say, their Lord and their God. Boy, I'm sure glad you showed up to prove it to these guys. Jesus deals with folks. He deals with them individually. And you know what he's called? A personal Savior. I want to offer him and introduce him to anybody. But hey, when he's dealing with me, it's not time for me to put him off on them. Thomas didn't say, boy, Lord, I'm glad you're here to show these guys what a bunch of knuckleheads they are. Oh, no. He said, I'm the knucklehead, Lord. He said, I'm the doubter. He said, I'm the one. He said, my Lord, my Lord. I expect by the time he said, my Lord, the rest of those disciples said, amen. They all thought he's mine too. It was personal. My Lord and my God. He went from doubt to devout. He went from waver to worship. What a difference it makes to just finally recognize that Jesus is here. Verse 29, we'll close Thomas's faith. Here's that great statement Jesus made, Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet believe. Now, Jesus referring in the first portion of that to Thomas seeing and believing in his resurrection. Thomas was saved. Thomas's faith was in Jesus before he was crucified. The second part of that statement is so all-inclusive. This is the whosoever will of the Bible. He said, Thomas, blessed art thou because thou hast seen. You know now that I'm for real. He said, but Thomas, blessed are they who have not seen and believe. That's a person getting born again. That's a person. I have never laid eyes on Jesus. Never. Never. 42 years ago, I got saved. And you know, I've sensed him around ever since. I've experienced the highs and lows of him being good to me because I tried to be faithful. I've also experienced the times when he had to judge me, whip me, and deal with me because I wasn't. See, those who saw and believed not. Listen, if you're here without Christ, you realize you're blessed of God too. The Bible says it rains on the just and on the unjust. You know that God is still looking out for you. The fact that you're here this morning, he's looking out for you. So you are scarcely blessed. I mean, you get, he's still good to people because we're his creation. But those who saw and believed, like Thomas, are surely blessed. You get a blessing from seeing God do something in your life. If you believe in Jesus having never seen Him, then you're supremely blessed because it comes from the throne of God. Lord, be merciful to me, a sinner. Things happen when you pray and believe that way. Jesus, sign my pardon. That happens when you get saved. Not a parole, a pardon. Just like you never were guilty. No one can hold it to your charge. Then there's God the Father who declares innocent. Because sin has to be paid for. And if you're not going to pay it God's way, which is through Jesus Christ, then you're going to have to pay it your way, and you don't have enough. I'm telling you, you'll never have enough. Don't leave a faithless doubter. Trust Christ. Don't wait for proof. Proof is your living. See, that's God calling right now. Turn your phone off if you don't mind. Don't wait for God. Who was I talking? I think it was Joaquin. I think we were talking about the Israelites at the Red Sea. And Joaquin was talking about, you know, preacher, God's been so good to me. I love talking to him. He just twangs my buds. And he said, well, preacher, say, God's so good to me. He said, and I don't understand how people don't see that. Think about it. All those millions of Jews that watched God part the Red Sea, they could escape Pharaoh. And less than 2 weeks later, they were murmuring against God and Moses. But guess what? If we're not careful, we could all be just like Thomas. Yeah, we start living our life in our flesh, deciding that God's okay, but I think me and God can do a better job. God's doing okay, but me and God can do really good. You better get off that. You better get away from that and just trust God for your salvation, for your eternity, for your life, and the blessings that He can give. Pray. Father, we love You today. What a joy it is to be back in the house of God. The music has been wonderful. The fellowship has been wonderful. The Spirit of God, the experience of God being here, wonderful. Now, Lord, to open up the Word of God, that's wonderful to me. Wonderful. Now, Lord, comes the opportunity for those who do not know Christ to trust Him as their Savior. Or if they do, just need to get right, maybe get right with the Lord, or maybe just tell God thank You for all that He's done. Many of us don't nearly enough thank You for all You've done for us. Some, Lord, are really battling with self and with flesh and the old nature. Some are battling hatred and spite, and that's not what God wants. So whatever it is, Lord, they need to come and make it right so they can experience what Thomas experienced the second time around. Help us to be faithful to our Lord. Have Your way in this moment of invitation, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen.